Okay, good morning everyone. I think we can start. If everyone is ready. Okay, welcome everyone. Good morning. Today we are going to talk about Windows App Studio, a project released by Microsoft back in the summer, August 2013, which recently got some big upgrades. It's a very useful tool to build some apps with, and I will show you how that works and how you can expand it. First of all, a little bit about me. My name is Tom Verhoef from the company Matillion, my own company. In my daily life, I'm a Windows Phone and Windows 8 developer with a team of now 9 developers. We're building apps for some pretty well-known brands, both in Holland and worldwide. And with making apps for well-known companies comes the fact that people come up to you and say, "Hey, I have my own little bakery, garage, and I need an app as well. Can you help me maybe?" And well, as you can imagine, we don't have either the time or the resources to build all those small apps for those people, and they don't have any budgets that are actually useful for us. Fortunately, that is where App Studio comes in. So first of all, some small numbers about the first version that was released in August 2013, which was aimed at building Windows Phone apps just from a web interface, connecting some blocks together to build a full app. Over the last few months, it has been used by over 350,000 developers. There's been over 300,000 projects started, and even over 20,000 apps actually got published into the store. So one of the goals of this project was to make it easier for people to actually get started building an app. We all know that if you go to Visual Studio, do file new project, you do get an app, but it's empty. There's no content inside. With App Studio, it's actually possible to connect some easy blocks, news, RSS, things like that, hit in some colors, hit in some styling, and you actually get a basic app that you can use as a basis for further development, or you can directly publish it to the store. So the promise of App Studio, according to the website, is this: you have an idea, you just connect all the content blocks through their web interface, you do some styling, and bam, there's your app. Well, we all know app development isn't that easy, but actually for a basic app that just shows some news, maybe some other content, provides some contact information, those are basic steps that you can reuse, and they provide templates for everything, which we will see in a minute. To realize how this works and how this influences your app development project, here's a little slide with the app development life cycle that you usually have. Usually you come up with a plan, maybe some designs, you start building it in Visual Studio just from scratch, you take a few weeks to develop an app, you start testing and debugging it in the emulator, you start testing it on a real device, and if everything works, you publish it into the store. With App Studio, the model changes a bit. You don't only start with planning and designing, you move to App Studio to actually create the app, define a basis for further development, and then you can take it to a real device to already test it and publish it to the store, or you take it to Visual Studio and you start modifying it, expanding it with extra functionality, and then take it to the emulator, real device testing, and then publish it to the store. The great thing is, it used to be only for Windows Phone, but with the recent updates to the whole platform and universal app support, it's actually possible now to use your App Studio project as a basis for a universal app project, which will run both on Windows Phone and on Windows 8. So with that, we're already done with the slides because App Studio is all about actually building those apps, and I will show you how that works. So first of all, let's switch back to Internet Explorer. So just a quick question: who has used App Studio before? Okay. That's a good thing because you're going to see something new today. App Studio can be found by going to appstudio.windowsphone.com or appstudio.windows.com, and you'll end up after signing in with your Microsoft account in a little dashboard where you can see some projects. I've been playing around with this pretty often. And what you would usually do is just start a new project. Within App Studio, they actually help you by providing a lot of templates. So if you don't have any idea what you're going to build, there's some templates available for like an event or basic restaurant, things like that, video channels. But you can also get started with an empty app and just connect all the dots yourself. So that's what we're going to do today. As you can see, you'll get a view of what this template's going to look like. And obviously, for an empty app, you don't have anything yet. But it will be a basis for both Windows Phone and Windows 8. So first thing you obviously are going to do is give this thing a little name. So let's call it Tech Days Demo for now. And what you will see is that we have four tabs available. We have content. This is where you obviously get started defining the content that is going to be shown in your app. Themes, which we will look at later, which allows you to define the styling of the app, define some of the imagery. Tiles, which can be used for specifying the tiles, the splash screen, etc. for the app. And publish info, which is necessary when you actually want to take the app and bring it to the App Store later on. So if you look at the sections that are available, you'll see some pretty basic stuff that we all know. There's blocks available for RSS, for some plain HTML to bring some static content into your app. YouTube, Flickr, Bing to get some search queries out, and Facebook. If you want to bring some more complexity into your app, especially into navigation, allow some more depth than just the six sections that you have by default. You can also add an additional menu, which can provide another layer of navigation. And actually, the coolest block that you have is the collection, which we'll look at later, which allows you to specify custom data, both static data that is built into the app and dynamic data that's actually served from an Azure website. You can specify the data yourself. You can data bind it to templates. And thereby, you have a lot of freedom to actually bring in data that's not in a default model. So first, to get an idea of how this works, we'll just start adding some basic sections. So for example, we could want to add an RSS feed. And actually, I saved the RSS link for the Windows Developer blog right here. So let's call it Dev News. And all we have to do is specify the RSS feed right here. And as you will see, it will immediately show you the content from the RSS feed. And actually, what you see over here is a preview of the app that's interactive. So you can use your mouse to see how it works. You'll be able to go into the Dev News section here. And you'll see that this is where you have some options available to do the layout. So these are some of the basic layouts that are available for every data source in App Studio. These are basic templates, which vary from a list with images next to it to a more gallery-style view or a view more focused on text. And as you can see, I'll be able to play around with them and see the results in the preview on the left. This will really provide a basic layout for your app. And this is all defined as data templates. So if you take this app to Visual Studio, which we will do later on, you will see that those templates are easily editable, and you can add your own elements to it. You can add your own styling. And you will also see down here that this works just like regular data binding that we already know from Visual Studio and regular app development. So you'll be able to say the title will be in this case, obviously, the title. But you have all those extra properties available, and you can easily change them. This is especially important if we start looking at the collection later on, where you will be able to provide your own custom data sources, and where you will be able to specify data binding to those custom data sources and hook them up to the templates that are available from App Studio. So for some of the other default blocks that we have available, we could do, for example, YouTube and decide we want to have some of the videos from Microsoft here in the Netherlands. They're making videos throughout Tech Days, interviews with people, so it would be nice to include them in the app. And you'll see the new section show up here immediately, and it shows some of the latest YouTube videos. They just check out the YouTube feed online, bring it into the app. And again, you already have the default template. But for videos, it might be better to put some more focus on the graphics. So we'll choose one of these templates to make that look a bit better. As you can see, the default previewer here always shows the Windows Phone preview of your app. But while you are building this on the background, you actually already have your Windows preview as well. So if I click here, you'll see a pop-up which will show the same app as it will run later on in the Windows environment. And as you can see, the same data templates are used, but they are adjusted to the tablet view, obviously, which is a bit bigger, so it allows some other views. Throughout App Studio, you will see the Windows Preview button underneath the Windows Phone Previewer, so you can always switch to see what it looks like. So another one that is, well, used pretty often is the Facebook section, just because most companies or entities will have a Facebook page, and it's always fun to include it in the app. So, for example, if we take the Microsoft developer page for the Netherlands, we can bring it into the app as well. And if the connection is okay, you'll see the latest status updates show up immediately. And again, we can start looking at some other templates if we would like it. Maybe the status updates on Facebook should be a little bit more focused on the text. So with this, we already have a basic app available. If I wanted to, I could export this, get the app packages already, and they would be already prepared to be submitted to the store. So if I'm really lazy or I really don't have any knowledge of actually building apps, no coding skills at all, this would be enough to get a basic app going with a news feed and some videos and some Facebook content. However, it would usually be useful to add something else, especially if you're talking about businesses. They want to have some contact information available in the app. Unfortunately, it's really easy to add those as well. So if you look at the menu section down here, we can add a menu, and this will be focused at contact. So let's call it contact. And you'll see that you will be able to expand the menu down here. And again, you will be able to add those basic sections that we looked at before. But now, since it's a menu, we have an extra option here called menu action. This will allow you to add some special actions, and you'll see in the data configuration down here what kind of actions those are. This will allow you to provide, for example, a direct link to the Here Maps app, to show an address on a map, to allow contact through email. So I can say I want to be able to email myself, so I put in my email address and email section. And App Studio will handle for you that if you touch that menu item, your email client will launch on the phone or on the Windows desktop and tablet and allow your users to contact you. The same way we can add an address. So for example, today we are in the World Forum, which is Churchillplein 10 in The Hague, if I recall correctly. So we could call it location. And as you will see later on in the demo, this will show up on the phone, linking to Here Maps to show this on a map. There's plenty of other options available. I won't walk through every single one of them, but most of them are, well, pretty easy to see what they do. You can specify phone numbers. You can link to Nokia Music, which is relevant for apps that are related to music. You can actually pass queries to Nokia Music to search for music. But for now, let's leave it like this. Now, we have two sections left for our six sections that we can specify in the main section. So for those, I would like to look at regular collections. As you will see, if I want to add a collection, the first thing that it's going to ask me is specify the kind of data that you want to bring in here. So one of the things I wanted to do is highlight some of the news apps we have available for Windows Phone in the Netherlands, for example. So I'll call this section Apps. As you will see, immediately I would need to specify if it's a static resource or a dynamic resource. Changing this doesn't change anything to the interface, doesn't change anything to inputting this data, but it's a big difference in the background. If you specify that it's going to be a static resource, it means your data is going to be included in the app package. So the user doesn't need an internet connection on his phone to see this data, but it will also not be available for editing after publishing, because obviously you would need to publish a new package to push new data to the phone. The other alternative, dynamic resources, is actually one of the best features of App Studio, because in the background it will create a little web service in Windows Azure, which will provide data to your app. So if you publish your app to the store, you can still come back here, edit this data, add new data or remove, etc. And it will be automatically refreshed when users restart your app and they are online. So for now, there's nothing going to change about those apps, so I'll leave it for static. But I do need to add a few columns. So let's say an app will have obviously a name. That's going to be text. We'll need a publisher, a description, and I fetched some data from the store. You can use here. We need a tile URL to show some logo with the app. And maybe in a later stage, we want to provide a link to the store. So let's make sure we include store ID as well. So what this is going to do is add another section for apps. And if I'm going to edit this, you'll see that, again, I have those basic templates, but nothing is specified yet because we're working with custom data now. And I can move to the data tab where you will see our data model and a link to actually do something with this data. So what I can do here, if I wanted to, is specify new rules one by one, new rows. But adding them manually, well, not the best solution if you ask me. Fortunately, they provide an option to actually import data from data sources that you created before. So I prepared a little CSV file, which works through Excel. So I presume Office is going to be starting. In the meantime, I will already import the CSV. So what it will do is, here's Excel. There we are. So basically what this is just a list of data. You'll see the column headers on top, name, publisher, description, tile ID, and store ID, like I specified them online as well. And just some data rows. I just picked some well-known news apps. And as you can see, if I import it here, they're immediately resolving the various data types. One of the things that is great about this is that I can specify the type of data that I... The types of data that I'm working with. So for example, we have the tile URL. It's specified as text now. But I can also say this is actually not text, but it's an image. This is weird. My data just disappeared. I'll just re-import it. What you will see is that if I treat it as an image, it will automatically resolve the URL and fetch those images and immediately show them in the interface here. And now if I start working with my templates, you'll see that since I have the data available, it will again be able to show a preview. So again, if I start doing those bindings, it automatically shows the properties that I just specified. So for the title, obviously, we want the name of the app, and you'll see them appear right here. The subtitle could be the publisher, and the image is obviously going to be the tile URL. And now, just a minute later, we have the data in the app, and we are able to play around with it. Now, just like we have the overview page here, we have a detailed page as well. And on this detail page, I can again specify a template. So let's do image with title and the description. So if we keep working in the app, well, you'll notice that this starts looking like a real app. There's more sections in here. So let's move on to actually doing some styling. There's one thing we should change, by the way. I just saw the menu. It's not the best looking contact menu right now. So we should go into the menu and specify that it's going to be a list, maybe. So let's move on to styling. They have basic styles available, which you might know from Windows Phone, the dark style and the light style. But you can also do some custom styling, which usually, if you are working with a client that actually has some own styling and some own brand colors, this is usually the best solution. You can just pick some nice colors. Let's make it blue. I'm not good at design. I'll just pick some flashy colors to show you how this works. You can also specify a background image if you're actually prepared to have some imagery in your app. And I will save this. And I'll move on to the tiles section. If you're familiar with Windows Phone, you probably know that you can have live tiles on your start screen. And actually, App Studio provides support to bring in some dynamic content here. It needs to be content that's specified upfront in the app, so there's no real support out of the box to fetch new data in the background and update the live tile. But to make your app a little bit more attractive, you can, for example, use the cycle template, which will cycle through some images. Okay, something's breaking. And connect it to one of the local app sources we have. So we have the app apps images available. It recognizes that there's a collection that has images and that you can connect this to the live tile. So now, if we wanted to, we can have a live tile that flips some of the icons of the apps we specified. Also, an app needs a splash screen, especially if it takes a while to load. So you will be able to specify your custom splash screens over here. So for Windows, let's pick blue as a color. For Windows Phone, I'll leave it like this for now, but you can upload any image to use as a splash screen. Now, if I move on to publish info, this is where you specify the information that's actually important once you get to the point of publishing this app in the store. For now, I won't be doing the store association. If you worked with Windows apps before, especially Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 apps, you know that before going generating publish packages, you actually need to associate your app with the store. So you will need to create a name for your app and an ID through the dev portal, and then you can log in through the connection here and connect the app to the app ID. So then App Studio will be able to generate app packages that are ready for publication. One of the things to notice here is that you can only input some basic descriptions and names, but there's also this little switch down here, enable add client in source code. So plenty of people want to get rich making apps. Perfectly fine, everybody wants to do that. And actually, App Studio provides a little help with that. So if you want to use advertisement in your apps, you can flip the switch here. And if you download the source code later on, it will include the ad client already. And all you need to do from Visual Studio is enter some IDs from PubCenter, and you will have ads in your app that could start generating some revenue. For now, I'll say, well, let's include an about page. And that's about it. So for a basic app, this is actually all we need. If I hit finish, it will show me the demo side by side, and you'll see, well, same content, some ugly colors, but actually everything works. So all I need to do now is hit generate right here. I could still generate a Windows Phone 8 app, but since we're living in a universal app world now, let's pick 8.1. It could take a few seconds to do the generation. This depends on how many users are active, etc. This all runs in the Azure cloud, obviously. But if your app isn't too complicated, it shouldn't take too long. It will also send you an email once the generation is finished. So if you don't want to wait for it, you can grab a coffee and you'll see the email show up once it's ready. In the meantime, I will connect my phone so I can actually show you what the app is going to look like. Ah, here we are. So I'll scroll down here. A few important things to notice. They have some instructions here that if you want to deploy those packages to your own phone without actually going through Visual Studio, you will need to install some certificates, both for Windows Phone and for Windows 8. You will need to use PowerShell. If you start using this, it's best to just go through the instructions. They will state clearly what you need to do. It's not worth spending too much time on it right now. You'll see the next step is providing some installable packages. Those are the packages that you can download and deploy to your device. And after you make the store connection, it will also generate published packages that are ready to deploy to the store. But for now, the best part is obviously that we can get the source code. And as we'll see in a minute, this is a very well-defined Visual Studio project. Yes, come on. Let me just... open it again. So here we go. In terms of actual data size, this is not that big. Where's my... there we are. It's not that big, but the nice thing about this is that they spend a lot of time actually doing the architecture of the app. So you'll see that it's split up into some portable projects that do all the data connections with the backend. It's a universal project, so you'll see that there's shared code for Windows Phone and Windows 8, and some separate projects to do the actual UI. Is everyone in the back able to read this? Yes? Okay. So if we take a quick look at the solution, you'll see we have the universal project right here with the Windows 8.1 project, the Windows Phone 8.1 project, and a shared project. The shared project contains a lot of assets and basic controls, but most importantly, the view models that actually connect the data that we want to show to the views. And as you will be able to see here, they represent all the sections that we just created. So there's a DevNews view model, there's a Facebook view model, there's a videos view model, and they are all based on some base code that comes with App Studio. So as you can see, the amount of specific code for a section is actually pretty limited. We'll look at the code a bit more later on, but for now, let's first take a look at the actual project in action. So I connected my phone, so I'm going to deploy the project to my phone now. And if all goes well, we should be able to see it show up here in just a few seconds. It's deploying right now, so here we go. Yes. So as you can see, this is the app we just created, and it's now running on the actual phone I have right here. You'll see that still isn't that beautiful, so we can work on this. But it shows the news. It's still loading the videos. The data connection around here isn't too well. And as you can see, since I included those apps as actual static data, that's always available. That's baked into the package, and it doesn't need a data connection to bring those in. It has everything you need in terms of some animations to navigate through the several pages. Basically what we have here is an app. So I can do emailing from the contact menu. I can do the location, and it will fire up here maps to actually show it on a map. So the greatest thing about this is that this isn't just Windows Phone. As we've seen before, it also runs on Windows 8 as well. So if I go to this project and run it, we'll see the same project running on Windows 8.1 on both a desktop and a tablet. And that's interesting. I've never seen this one before. Let me try that again. Here we are. So as you can see, we see the same sections, the same news content. The YouTube API is still slow, but here are the videos. It has all the basic elements available. And as I said before, it's not necessarily the most beautiful interface yet, but as you have the full source code, you can edit that if you want to. I'll not spend too much time relying on videos actually showing up, but as you can see, all the YouTube videos are here. So this is the basis of App Studio, but like I said before, it really becomes valuable once you start expanding the app with your own content. So for now, I'll move back to the web interface and make a few adjustments to actually prepare the app for adding in some own content. Since the app already brings nice structure with it, as we've seen in the project before, we will be able to add in our own data pretty easily. So we have the portable AppStudio.data project down here, which contains data providers, data schemas, and data sources for every data source. So we have a data source for the apps, and as you can see, they're baked into the app just like this. Here's our plain data that we uploaded to the web application before. I'll be able to edit it here, but I'll also be able to change it. And every data source works the same way. It just implements an iData source interface that's nothing more than a load data and a refresh method. So for static data, it isn't that special. Obviously, it just returns this data. But once we look at, for example, the RSS feed, you'll see that it connects to an RSS data provider. So there will be data providers available for every type of data that you include. So we'll have a Facebook data provider. And if you look at this, you'll see that this just calls some APIs at Facebook, parses those feeds and shows the posts. Same for RSS, same for YouTube, and more importantly, also for the services where you'll see that it'll actually connect to a service running on App Studio. This is where the dynamic data comes in if you want to bring in dynamic data that you specified in your app. To be able to bring in some own data, we will add some data sources online, because then the data source model will already be available and generated through App Studio, and all we need to do is bring in our own connection to the data. After that, we will take a look on the design templates and see how we can edit those to make it look a bit better. But for now, let me take out Facebook because I need space for two more collections. First of all, I want to bring in a gallery with just some nice images. So I'll say I'm going to have a gallery. It is going to have an image, obviously, and maybe a title for an image as well. And next to that, I will also try to bring in a Twitter feed, something that's not available by default just for now. I expect that they might be looking into a Twitter block as well for the future, but for now we don't have Twitter, but it will be pretty easy to edit ourselves. Let's just pick the default columns for Twitter for now, which are because we need a title, a username, for example, the date for the tweet, maybe a profile picture, and the actual tweet. So these four fields should really do it. Now, if we edit those, it's probably best to just specify some sample data. So the image will be black and let's say image title. This will make sure that there will be some data in the sample app, and we will be able to replace this data with actual live data. And for a gallery, well, let's pick a nice template for the gallery. And for the detailed view, we'll make sure to connect the data. So just like this, we have the basics available to bring in an image gallery. All we need to do is specify the images later on once we have the project running in Visual Studio. For Twitter, we will do the same. Just already picked a template that fits. So for example, for Twitter, this would actually work with a title and subtitle, description, and an image. And for the detailed view, well, I don't know if we would necessarily need one, but let's just specify one to be ready. We'll do title, description, and the image. And let's also add a plain tweet. So, for example, I use my own Twitter handle. I just now did a tweet, and this is a plain tweet. Oh, wait, let's pick this one. So with this, we're ready to bring in our own data. I'll show you how to bring in some basic gallery data and how to connect Twitter to this project. I won't be changing anything to design from the web portal anymore. I'll just make sure to regenerate our code. So while it's generating, I can already show you a bit more from the app project to give you a bit of a reference of how this was actually constructed. I mentioned before that this is all built around the model view view model design pattern. So we have a shared project which contains view models for every single data source. And we have two projects, both for Windows Phone 1 and for Windows 8.1, which contain mostly styles. And views for the various data sources. The most important one is actually the main page, which contains a basic definition for every section. So as you can see right here, we have the dev news, videos, Facebook, etc. And it brings in data for every hub section that is specified through its own XAML. So hopefully in the meantime, we indeed have a newly generated package. So I'll download the source code again, and then we can finally start building some own stuff into the project. So we'll call this custom app studio app. The great thing is that if you're actually building an app for a small company or that want to use this internally, for example, you will also be able to bring in a little connection to, for example, the list of people that are working in a company, just some contact information maybe, or a list of offices. Small things like that. All you need to do is be able to build a little connection to a web service or another data source where you can get the data from and connect it to the App Studio interface, and then you're already there. So we have a new project again, and as you can see, in my data sources, I now have a gallery data source and a Twitter data source. Well, for the gallery data source, by default, it just specified the IE numberable for data, which contains just one gallery schema, so just one object with an image and a title, which is returned down here. What I want to do is just generate some random images. So let's say we will have, interesting, we will have some data in a list, and that list will contain, obviously, objects of type gallery schema. And let's just create 20 of those objects. So now all I need to do is say I want to create a gallery schema object, and it will have a title. So let's just say this is image number. And for image, we will actually use one of my favorite data sources for demos. Which is Lorem Pixel. I don't know if anyone is ever looking for demo images if you're working on a project. Lorem Pixel provides a service that actually does the same as you would have. If you're designing text, you probably use a Lorem Ipsum text. Those guys do the same, but they provide images as a web service. So I can specify within the URL that I want to have a 100 by 100 image. for example, of some cats. And to make sure we get a different image for every image, we add a GUID to the string. Otherwise, our caching mechanism in Windows Phone will see that I keep loading the same URL, and it will actually only show that the same image over and over again. And now, instead of returning the data that was specified before, we'll just return this. And if all goes well, we actually should be able to see some new data come into the app already. I just wrote maybe 10 lines of code. And as you can see right here, we have our gallery, which in this case brings in some random images of cats. What I wanted to prove here is that we're just writing a few lines of code to connect a new data source, you will actually be able to bring in new data into your app. And if I would deploy this to the phone, which I will do later once we finish the other data source, it would work the same way. So you would see the new images show up just like that. And since we specified all the templates before, that's all the work we actually need to do. So so moving on to the Twitter data source, which is going to be obviously a little bit more complicated. Right now, the Twitter data source as well is just one plain object. Since Twitter is actually a more complicated service, it would make the most sense to actually implement a new data provider that does all the connection handling with Twitter. For now, to keep it a bit more easy, I will implement it right here in the load data method of the Twitter data source. Fortunately for Twitter, there's a lot of packages available that actually provide the basic things you need to make a connection to the Twitter API. There's only one problem. The whole universal app project is pretty new, and not every NuGet package has been updated yet to support this. So if I would want to add directly the reference to link to Twitter, for example, to the portable project, it wouldn't work, since some of the profiles in the background have changed and they would need to update their manifest. So for now, we'll use a little workaround. Obviously, since Windows 8.1 has been available for a little bit longer, NuGet packages will work with it. And we'll search for a link to Twitter. Here we go. If I install it to my Windows 8.1 project, it will bring in all the packages we actually need to add to our other project. So this is just a small workaround for now. I'm pretty sure that in a few weeks, those packages will be updated. So now, where I actually need the reference is down here in the data project. I'll say add reference. And if I go to my Custom App Studio project down here in packages, I will find link to Twitter, and it will include actually a PCL for link to Twitter, which will work in our portable project. So what we want to do now is implement a way of fetching some tweets and showing them in the interface. So instead of returning the plain data, I will need to make a connection to Twitter here. One of the things you need for the Twitter API is some authentication tokens. They will only work today, so for those watching later on, don't bother reusing those. So I will just paste this in down here and import the reference. We will also need system.link later on, so let me add the using statement right now. Now all we need to do is actually fetch this data, so we'll need to set up a Twitter context. If you've used link to Twitter before, you probably know how easy it is to use this API to actually fetch some content from Twitter. The only challenging part is actually creating those tokens through the web interface, and now I have a Twitter context that will allow me to perform queries through the Twitter API. This can be either the timeline for a user or just search results for a hashtag, for example. So for now, let's just try to fetch the tweets for the hashtag for today's event, TechDaysNL. So we'll say, let's look at the search results. And since it's linked to Twitter, we can easily specify a query where, in this case, we would be looking at a search. And for the query, we're going to use the hashtag techdaysNL. And, well, let's try to fetch 100 tweets, for example. Oh, and we don't need the task.run wrapper anymore, obviously. So let me check what is wrong here. Oh, obviously this needs to be like this. And tweet counts 100. So if all goes well, we will have our search results, and we'll see later if it works. Again, we can create a new list. In this case, it will create. We'll use a Twitter schema, and we're going to walk through the results. So in search results, we actually have Twitter statuses that are provided by the Twitter API, and it will allow us to add an object with a tweet for every tweet that was found. So what we're going to do again is add a new Twitter schema. And then for every element we have, so for title, we will use status.user.name. For description, we will use status.text. For an image URL, we want to show the profile picture for the user. So that's going to be the profile image URL down here. And if we wanted to, we can also provide the subtitle, which is the created ad for the status. I won't be spending too much time talking about the Twitter API, but most of those things make sense. So just like this, we process the search results, parse them into the format that's already provided by AppStudio, since we already defined this model online. And now, just like before, we will return this data. Now, if all goes well, fingers crossed, we will have some TechDaysNL tweets in our app. And here we go. As you can see, just in the templates we specified before, we have some of the tweets that are recently tweeted on the hashtag TechDaysNL. There's no detail page yet, but well, at least the data comes in. Those are just two examples of how you can provide the data model through the AppStudio web interface. So you don't need to program anything to make the connection with the data model to a new view, create templates. You provide that before, just change the data source object to actually provide your data instead of something else. And you have your data right here. Like I said, we just brought in about 100 tweets. They're all here. And again, I can run the same project on the phone as well. So let's see if we can awake it. So again, we'll take a while to deploy it. Again, AppStudio is really meant for those basic apps where there's no time or budget or efforts available to really make something unique, but you just need some basic information in your app and you want to have it available in Windows. Data connection is still pretty limited from the phone, but as you can see, the data comes in again. We still have our apps. We have our gallery with the cats. And actually, since the first version of App Studio was developed for phones, you'll actually notice that it looks a lot better on the phone usually. I'll just be able to swipe through all my favorite cat images. So this was just a basic example of how you can actually bring in this data. As I said before, you probably want to do an extra step in making design look a little bit better, since, well, we already have the data available now. We could spend a few more minutes making it look a little bit better. And since the project is designed in such a good way, we can easily open it in Expression Blend and start playing around with the templates. You'll notice that all the templates are defined in resource dictionaries, which makes it even more easier to edit those. So let's open this in Blend. In the meantime, we have about 20 minutes left, so if there's any specific questions you want to ask, feel free to ask them already. I can spend a lot more time talking about the design, but if you have a specific question, I do want to have some time to answer those.
Blend is a standard tool or something?
That's a good question. Just a basic rundown of the tools that you actually have when you want to develop Windows apps. Usually when building apps, the flow would be there's going to be a designer. He's usually working in a tool like Photoshop, doing the designs. And on the other side, there's the developer working from Visual Studio, actually building the app, actually putting all the code together. Visual Studio is really focused on coding everything. So we do have our XAML files available right here in the views, which are the... and this is where you specify how the layout looks. And we also have a designer view available, so you can actually get a preview right here. But it's not really meant to do the designing of interfaces. Blend is really the tool that's provided to connect the designer who's doing Photoshop to the developer who's actually building the app. So if you've seen Photoshop before, you'll notice that Blend is way more focused around design from the interface, while Visual Studio is mostly focused on the code. So, for example, if I select an object over here on the right, you'll see that I'll easily be able to specify all the properties. I'll be able to adjust colors, and it's really focused on visually designing the app. If you set up a project the right way, an App Studio project are set up the right way, you'll easily be able to use Blend to edit templates, for example. So, if we look here at the resources, you'll see that there's the views for all the data sources we specified before. So there's styles for the news list, and snap views, or when you start resizing the app. There's item templates, smaller item templates, and there's detail views. So for example, I can pick a template for the news list that's displayed, and as you can see, if I look at the split view, this is just a really basic template that is used to display the news items from an RSS feed, and basically it's just a really small grid, just a grid with a black background, some row definitions, and it shows an image and two text blocks. If we look at the app on the phone, I'll make sure that it's clear what we're editing right here. You'll see that, well, this might not be the best view if you're looking at news articles, because probably we don't want the black background. It's not that beautiful on the blue background for the whole page, and maybe the pictures are a bit too big. So I can work on a template right here, and instead of a black background, let's just remove the background altogether. We'll make it transparent, and it will render more. It will render better on a blue background. And what we can also do is not put the image on top, but put it on the side, for example, so I can just edit my grid like I would when doing a regular design. One of the things you'll notice is that when I try to do coding in Blend, there's not really that much IntelliSense to actually help you doing the code, because it's really meant to be edited from the visual interface. But for example, for column definitions in a grid, this is just a bit quicker. My background is really, I'm a developer, so I'm not spending too much time in Blend. But Blend could be a really valuable tool if you're not that familiar with coding, but you do want to make some adjustments to the looks of the app. So even if you don't want to do all the coding yourself and just use the code that's provided by App Studio, you can still use Blend to make some minor adjustments to the looks. Thanks. That's why I prefer Visual Studio when I'm coding. And now we will put the image in grid row 1 and grid column 1. And we'll make sure the text parts go to the second column. Obviously, those are zero based, so. So we'll put the text next to the image instead of the image above the text. And one of the things that we will allow is the image to take two rows. So if you put it like this, rows. And we try to run the app, and maybe it's better to do it from Visual Studio, but it shouldn't matter. Still building. Well, let's just run the project. And as you can see, we now have a template that looks just a little bit nicer. We can still spend some time improving this, and we can do the same for the other templates as well. For example, for the contact menu, it would make perfect sense to bring in some better looking icons than just those circles right here. The app templates aren't that nice on Windows 8 as well. As I said before, most templates look better on Windows Phone right now than they do on Windows 8, but since it's pretty easy to edit those, it makes perfect sense to look into that.
Can you do localization through the application itself, or do you have to build it in?
I think at this time, App Studio doesn't have built-in support for localization, but what they do have is a nice way of actually preparing the app for that. So. In the web interface, you specify the default language for the project. But if you... let me... the resource file should be somewhere in the project. Oh, here it is, in the assets folder. They provide resource files in a way that they are easily localized. So you already have your resource file for the default language. So adding one that adds support for another language is really easy. You can just basically copy the resource file, translate the strings, and all you would need to do is enable the extra language in the project, and it will detect the language the phone is running on, and if that language is available, pick that resource file. So while it's not provided through the web interface at this time, it will be easy to do localization.
It takes it from Azure only, or is it?
Well, so what it does when I specify dynamic data through the web interface, is, oh, my session timed out. Since most users that are just looking at building an app just to get started, they won't have backends available with data sources, etc. So what they want to do is just provide an easy way of getting that set up. So if I would specify dynamic data, what it does is it doesn't change anything to the interface right here, but instead of putting this data into the app, it will actually take the data, put it in a storage in Azure, and in the project you will see that instead of a static data source, well, I can generate this, by the way, just to quickly show you. I'm not sure if I can change it on the fly. Well, I think it should be working already. I'll generate it. I'll generate it, and I will see if I can show you. What it will do is basically change the data source we have right here. So instead of the app source, instead of having it in the app like this, this will come from Azure. So instead of a long file with all the data, the load data will actually use, I think it will use the service data provider to just, this is a data provider that is generic for every type that you can put up in the Azure cloud. So it will have an ID for your app and just fetch the data from the cloud. And if you want to use another data source, you would need to implement your own data provider. but for Azure, they just provided it. And it basically allows you to, once the app is available, get back to the web interface and add some new data without actually doing the publishing all over again. So it provides a mechanism to actually have dynamic data without having to set up your own full backend. And obviously, it's pretty limited. It's just one table with data. But that's enough for most simple scenarios. So we're going to do this again. So I'll just quickly look at the data source for the apps. And as you'll see, instead of having the plain data available, it now specifies some IDs and uses those IDs to create a service data provider object, which will allow it to load the data from Azure. So if we look into the service data provider and the way it's implemented, what it does is just take some of the app ID and the data source you provided, download the data. It's really, really simple storage in Azure. So what it will do is just use this base URL to fetch the data. It will just give a string of JSON, use JSON.net to deserialize the data to the objects of type app schema in this case, and return those. So the only difference is that instead of picking the static data, it will just fetch it from Azure. Okay. So any more questions? We still have 10 minutes left, so let me look at, for example, the contact items we have right here. Right now, this is connected to, it shows an image that's connected to an icon. It would make more sense to show a more beautiful icon. So for example, what we can do, if you want to have icons that look good on Windows projects, ModernUIIcons.com is one of the websites you really need to remember. What those guys do is provide royalty-free Creative Commons license icons to use in your Windows apps. And those are mostly small icons to use in an app bar or for small buttons. So, for example, since we're talking about contact, we could see, well, they have this item available for contact. For mail, it could be, well, let's just pick one. And it will allow you to download it as an image, but also to have it in a vector form as a canvas object. So actually, if I want to make a quick improvement, I could probably bring this icon in here. I didn't really prepare this part, but I think this should work. So let's give it a try. We'll put the canvas in the grid. And since we're changing the template, this will actually change the icon for every contact item. Probably if you want to do this in a real app, you want to have a separate icon for everything in the list. So it looks as it might work. So let's just try to build it. Something is broken. Well, let me quickly take a look at this in okay, well, let's not spend too much time looking into this. It should be pretty easy to bring in an icon like this. Something is broken. What's more important to remember, like I said before, that we have all the templates available right here for every data source you specify. And even if you don't know anything about C# and programming, just spending a few minutes with Blend, which is, by the way, available as a free download. The whole Windows SDK for building apps is available as a free download, includes Blend. If you spend a few hours with this, you could actually make a pretty good looking app, especially if you look at it with a designer. And well, as you can see, just as the other templates we looked at, the definitions of the templates is really easy. And that's mostly the only thing that you really want to change, because the base of the app, just using lists and grids to lay out everything, doesn't need to change. And while looking at those objects, if you're familiar with HTML, for example, grids are just like tables. So you specify rows, you specify columns, you can give them height, width, etc. Or give them a star, which will make them stretch and divide the available space they have. You have text blocks, which just show text. You have images, which all speaks for itself. If you play around with this a little bit and you can run it on your own machine, you'll see that it will be pretty easy to come up with apps that look pretty good. So with that, we have 7 minutes left, so there's time for some more questions. For now, thanks all for attending. I'll be here all day, so if you have more questions about this and want to ask me in private, feel free to hit me up somewhere here. Let me show you, before I forget, that they do want you to give some feedback for every session. So please go to techdaysapp.nl, leave a review for this session and the other sessions you attend. If you want to contact me later on, I'm available through Twitter. And again, thanks for attending.